This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
I drive a John Deere tractor, yeah, I work these fields sun up, sun down every day. I got a camo hat that says, get her done, and I believe in the American way. And I believe in God, and I believe I'll have a beer at the end of the day. 'Cause I'm bona fide, certified, basic, Eastern Shore, redneck, USA. A Remington
870. Hey, Marty Gary, how are you?
Hey, good morning, Alan.
And see, I played that just for you, knowing that you are on Maryland's Eastern Shore today.
Well, thank you very much.
My pleasure. How you been?
I'm doing well. I'm anxious to get out and do a little bit of fishing. I have to admit I haven't done too much.
I've tried
a little bit in my backyard, which is Patapsco Valley State Park.
But, right.
Yeah, I think I sent you a little note. I think we're on the cusp of a whole lot of good things starting to happen here soon, hopefully.
Yeah, there's not a lot of trout down there in Ocean City where you are today.
No.
So you're not going to be able to take that in, but a lot of our listeners will, and we welcome you to the show. Marty Gary, a relatively frequent guest on the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We talk to you about the Fishing Challenge and other issues out there, and we've got a good working relationship with Fisheries Service and the director, and we've had over the past couple of years a number of the biologists and department heads and project leaders and that type of thing, and we always enjoy talking to folks from Fisheries to give us the up-to-date information. So that's why Marty's here today. Did I lay too much on you there, Marty?
No, in fact, I just add to that, Alan. Likewise, I think we hear a lot from folks that come up to myself and some of my colleagues that have been on your show and say, hey, heard you on the show. And, so it's
cool.
Great to be able to get that kind of exposure, and we appreciate it.
Yes, indeed. Well, we've been talking about the Fishing Challenge for years, and, of course, we're underway right now. We started immediately after Labor Day last year with the 2013 Fishing Challenge, and we've got a lot of nice catches coming in right now, some largemouth bass and some a lot of largemouth, some white perch, some blue catfish, and some even a channel catfish there caught near White's Ferry, a 31-inch channel cat, which is pretty nice. Aaron Wiener of Sykesville checked that in. Oakley D. Ramo of New Market for 21.5-inch largemouth he caught in Lake Linganore. Up in Frederick County, Noah Tomasek of Lusby, Maryland, for a 41.5-inch blue cat he caught in the Potomac. Mike Tomasek, also of Lusby, I guess they're brothers or father and son or relatives. They both have the same last name, a 42.5-inch blue cat caught in the Potomac. Don Smith of Baltimore for a 13.75-inch white perch he caught on the Eastern Shore, and many more. So we've got, a lot of folks that did that fall striper run and caught some big fish in the fall and checked them in. And so we're in the running here as far as the Fishing Challenge is concerned, right?
Yeah, things are going nicely. We just went over 300 entries since this part of the, the contest, as starts right after the old one ends on Labor Day.
Right.
And so we just cracked 300, and not sure exactly where that matches up, past years.
You know, 300 trophy fish, that's pretty good in the last 6 months. Yeah. Not bad at all, to be honest with you. So
yeah, I don't know if you noticed, Alan, the one thing that caught my eye on this most recent batch of entries was that brook trout.
Yeah, I did see that.
I did notice it's up on Angler's Log, and so a couple of our biologists weighed in, and they suspect that may have been a fish that came down. The Susquehanna was a PA, Pennsylvania fish that made its way down somehow. But it looks like a beautiful fish. It's up on our Angler's Log, which is, again, another great resource for the folks out there.
Yeah, for the folks that want to know what's happening today, they check in on that Angler's Log. It's basically you should have been here yesterday. But, it's certainly as current information as you can get. That's Jason Michalski of Northeast. 16.5-inch brook trout caught in Octorero Creek, which is not the most well-known trout stream. But it does hold trout, and that is a tremendous. That's like a Canada brook trout, 16.5 inches. That's for sure. That's a big fish.
yeah, it's a beauty, and the pictures are up there if anybody wants to take a look at them.
Yep, that's DNR. .maryland.gov, and then you click on fisheries, and on the right-hand side you can see the angler's log right there. And we also have a direct link to the angler's log off of ellisoutdoors.com as well on the podcast page. So people are looking for that. That's great. And you're certainly going to be taking phone calls with us today and talking about a few different subjects. We just kind of bullet-pointed the upcoming fishing. We've got, of course, the trout fishing season starting today with a couple of spots that didn't get stocked, mostly way up there in western Maryland because of ice and bad weather conditions, I'm guessing.
Yeah, Alan, it sounds like it's an accessibility issue.
Yeah.
Could be some snow and ice. It looks like the stream flows, though. I did take a look at those yesterday, and even at far west, the stream flow conditions are optimum for angling.
Yes.
I mean, the rivers are running normally, but they're running clear
right.
just about everywhere.
Yep.
So, I mean, I was down in Tasco Valley State Park. I get down there about two or three times a week just
yep.
taking hikes. I always grab a rod and bring it with me. But I could see they were under closures, and, of course, the one and two closures are released. So there's no closures at the moment. So
right.
It really is the weekend to get out the trout fish.
But sure.
Tapsco, and I'm sure all these other streams are running beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
Clear, you can see those palomino trout. I could see several when I was walking down
sure.
By the river. But yeah, it's just I think it's just a matter of the access, the roads, some ice and snow and whatnot. Some of the crews couldn't get to those places in far western Maryland.
Sure, sure. Those are the Judas fish, I call them. Those palomino trout, because they're always other rainbows hanging with them. You know, they tend to hang together, so you try not to catch that palomino because he's your spotter fish, you know. He betrays the presence of the other one. So you snake those other ones out of the hole there before you get that palomino. So
that's a great metaphor.
Well, you know, what can I say, given the season? Looks like, Marty, we've got Andy from Catonsville would like to say hi. Andy, good morning.
Morning. Yeah, I'm heading up to the Susquehanna.
Yeah. Going to give the hickories a try?
Well, actually, grandson wants to go catfishing.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah.
My one friend gets hung up on the rocks up there and all, and down Ocean City for tog off the jetty and all, we used to tie a light line on
yeah.
and use a couple sinkers.
Yeah.
Not sinkers, spark plugs.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about doing that. Do you think the water's warm enough up there yet?
Marty, what do you know about catfish in the Susquehanna?
Well, I mean, the water temperature right now, I talked to a couple of our staff biologists there, have their crews out in various locations. And up in that area, we have pretty good information. Water temperature right now is about 8 Celsius, which is around 45, 46 degrees. So it's cold.
It's cold.
We're kind of moving a little slow right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
but,
it's all new method.
We saw that one. We saw a few entries of catfish already. It's pretty evident they're, you know, they're there. I think you can probably catch them with pretty good success.
And, yeah.
You know, up there at Fisherman's Park, you couldn't have find a better place to go. I'm sure the lower Susquehanna could be productive as well. But
yeah.
I think it's a good bet, honestly.
All right. Andy, what do you think?
I saw a new method for the chicken livers. You know, put them in some coarse kosher salt to toughen them up.
So yeah. Yeah.
Try some because, you know, they don't stay on the hook too well.
Yeah. Well, you know what I do? I take peelers, and a friend of mine taught me this a couple years ago. You take peelers that you don't use. You get back from a fishing trip or, soft crab or something like that, and you salt them down good and you freeze them.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is, too, once you salt them, aren't you supposed to rinse them and then freeze them?
I don't know. I just coated them in salt. I've seen them. My buddy, you know, he just has them.
Yeah, I did that, too.
Yep.
I did that, too, for the bay.
Yeah.
Hey, you got my crabbing pictures?
I got them. I think I sent you an email and thanked you
yeah,
for that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I got them, sure. But, Andy, as far as the catfish are concerned, Marty, you can speak to this better than I can, but the flatheads are coming on strong in the Susquehanna. That's not necessarily a good thing, but obviously there's plenty to eat up there.
Yeah, there's they're pipesivorous. They favor fish. So,
right.
You know, cut fish rather than chicken livers or something like that would work well for you if you had
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I've had a chance to observe some of the folks that do that. I've never tried to actually catch those flatheads, but... for instance, one evening I went up there for survey-related trip, and went up there and
field research
a couple hours and saw probably two or three dozen of them caught. I was amazed. So it'd be great if of course we want people to, you know, we don't expect to eradicate them, but it'd be great to catch and kill and remove those animals that are not native.
Yeah. Well, there's something else for the angler survey. I noticed that snakeheads have been added to the angler survey. Why not flatheads and blue cats?
Yeah, it's a good point. The survey has become a really valuable tool to our biologists and our staff. And I know it's listed as inland. There's a whole list of categories on that menu now, and it just continues to grow. And there is an other, and you have to click under the bass icon, the largemouth bass icon, and it's like a comprehensive survey. It's got pickerel, the snakeheads, it's got a whole bunch of different species in there, but it does have other. I think it's a good point, Al, and I'll bring that up with our staff when I get back in the office about perhaps adding the flatheads to it. See what the thought is on
that. Andy, I don't know, do you watch Swamp People at all?
Every now and then, but no, you know.
All right. Well, you know, they use a bait down there they call beef melt.
Oh, yeah? Beef melt?
Yeah. Do you know what it is?
Is that like cow's melt that we used to use for crabbing? It's cow's belly?
Nope. It's what it is coagulated blood. Beef blood tends to coagulate very quickly. Mm-hmm. And if you put that out on a tray or a flat surface and allow that beef blood to get hard and become solid, that's a tremendous catfish bait. Tremendous. It's all blood, but you can slice it. It's a little thicker than the consistency of Jello. And you can put that in a screen bag if you want, you know, like a net bag of some kind, or you can actually strip it on the hook. But it tends to fall off once the current, you know, works it a little bit. But if you're pond fishing or something like that, it's a great bait.
We used to use years ago for crabbing something called cow's melt. It was red like that, and it was like Jello. We used to tie it on the line.
Well, that's blood. It's not belly. It's blood.
Well, it was cow belly.
Cow belly.
Red. Well, they called it crab melt. I mean, cow melt. And it was real. You had to go to a butcher to get it.
Yeah.
It was red.
Yeah.
And if you could still get it, it would slice the consistencies you're talking about.
Yeah.
I saw an article quite a few years ago, divers were down around the floodgates and all inspecting them at Susquehanna, and they got scared because there were 40 and 50 pound cats down there.
And there still are. Yep.
But you can't go on a catwalk and fish for them.
Not anymore, no.
So. Yeah. Hey, Marty, you were talking about the Patapsco River. I suspect the part that's like above Route 1 there in, part of Ellicott City, part of Catonsville, and when they stock it with trout and everything, it's great. And the water is like crystal clear and all, but other than suckers, I don't see any fish in there.
And so, Andy, you were walking along that area above Route 1 and you didn't see any?
Huh?
Yeah, the area that's close to me, and I hike it quite a bit, is it's up by a swinging bridge, so it's from the Avalon.
Yeah, I ride my bike through there five times a week.
Yeah, just to give you a for instance, I guess the last time I was in there was it was probably, you know, earlier this week. Got home and, you know, sun's still up till 7:30, so it's a quick hike down there. Walked down to the swinging bridge area.
Yeah,
and that area I could see as Alan was mentioning earlier, that, you know, he called them the palominos, the golden trout.
If you have polarized
sunglasses,
it's kind of ironic. All
the
those mills were in operation.
But,
it seemed
I have
like
no
they were
problem.
Hold it! Whoa!
Huh?
Only one of us can talk at a time, Andy.
Sorry,
let Marty finish, please.
Alan, I can hear you, but I can hardly hear Marty because you got a tie line there.
Yeah,
I can't.
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll let you go, Andy, and you can. We'll let you go, Andy, and you can listen while Marty gives you the explanation on that, okay?
I appreciate it.
All right, buddy. Thanks. Marty, go ahead. I'm sorry. You were talking about the...
Yeah,
I call them palomino. That's the old Pennsylvania coming out of me. So, sorry about that.
No worries. No, but I mean, the area that I hiked, Alan, the water levels are, like I said, they're probably a little bit below average flow. And they're running very clear, as Andy said.
Right.
But those fish are gravitating. You won't see them out in an area that's, you know, wide. I'm trying to think of the term to use. Just out in the open. They seem to be hugging along the banks and those little
depressions
and cutbacks and whatnot. And you know, first thing you see, of course, are the golden trout.
Yeah.
And I saw plenty of those. And like you said, they're where they are, the others are. And if you did happen to have polarized sunglasses, so that's one thing, if Andy has any of those, and I had a pair on, I could easily see the others as well when I stopped and took a look. Just right there at the swinging bridge, right below it, there were plenty. Dozens I saw.
Yeah.
And that's just one of several locations along there. Now, I can't speak to the area down by Route 1, but I think from the area around Lost Lake, they call it Lost Lake or Avalon Pond, all the way up to Bloaty, there's multiple locations. So that's a really good spot to go.
Yeah. Good, man. I appreciate that. We have had numerous calls about perch, and of course we discussed the perch situation with Paul Piavas a couple of weeks ago. I'm assuming, and you know, just because of the time of year, I'm assuming that the yellow perch are now are spawned. Being same family as walleyes, and talking to John Mollican yesterday, the walleyes are basically spent in the Potomac River, so I'm going to guess that the perch are probably in the same situation in our tidal rivers. What are you hearing on the yellow perch, Marty?
Yeah, you're pretty much right on, Alan.
Yeah, we got the white perch coming behind.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I did a couple of those crews that I talked to, asked him a little bit about hickory shad, white perch, because they are next up. And you're right, yellow perch, pretty much, there's a fike net survey Paul and his crew run. And I don't think there's a possibility you still could get a couple, but target him, as you're probably not going to, do as well.
Yeah.
White perch, you know, they're looking at low 50s of when they start to come on, and then that'll get better as it gets, the water temperatures get to mid 50s. So, with the temperatures now being 45, 46 degrees, we still got a little ways to go. But you know, as I do, that it just takes a few good warm days and things get popping pretty quickly. So,
yep.
So you know, think about it. You know, if you carry around, a lot of anglers ought to carry around a thermometer and just kind of keep it this time of the year when they're fishing streams and rivers, and you know, check things out and you know, take you know, keep aware of their what's going on So we're still probably a little bit away from really seeing it get going, but white perch are up next, and the hickory shad, they're probably staging just, you know, in the lower Susquehanna and the lower part of some of these tribs, but we've got any number of great runs for those once that gets going.
Yeah.
Used to be back in the day, it was just Deer Creek and Octorero Creek, but now there's so many different places you can go.
Oh yeah,
if you want to try hickory shad fishing.
Yep, and that's a good fishery this time of year. It's a lot of fun, a lot of action when they're right. And I know Uncle Dale and I have been talking about getting up there to Deer Creek and trying to figure out the hickory, the hickory run. So they're as far as. Not having any experience with a fly rod, if you take it out and get a nice shad fly on your fly rod, and you dip it in the water up there, I mean that's that teaches you real quick about how to land a fish on a fly rod when you're hitting 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 fish a day or more in the case of Uncle Dale. But you know, he knows where to stand and you know where to relegate the lesser folks to stand up there in the Susquehanna. So
indeed he does.
Yes, he does. He knows how to do that. So Marty, we got to take a break, and let me tell the folks about the Maryland Fishing Challenge. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop, or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, and even prizes from great sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour. And from now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland Citation-sized fish or crab and certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, the tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast to qualify. Stop by your local fishing citation center, check the fishing rule book that comes with your fishing license, or visit the website www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2013 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Citation Fish Program. Again, that's www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky?
The following is a paid announcement.
Governor O'Malley wants to enact laws that burden the right of self-defense for the law-abiding citizen. These restrictions will deny rights to those least able to afford them. The governor openly admits he wants to tax a civil right and make it a profit center for Maryland. The governor proposes laws that violate American values. His laws will not target criminals. His laws will only convert the lawful into criminals. The governor's penalties against law-abiding people will cause the loss of jobs, security clearances, and could even stop you from getting a mortgage. The governor's laws will subject active duty service members to prison time if they cannot register their firearms while serving overseas. They will subject young hunters to prison time for possessing common hunting ammunition. And you'll risk prison for not knowing to register a hunting firearm that the state previously approved you to own. Gun control helps no one. This message brought to you by Maryland citizens. Learn more at MarylandShallIssue.org.
Now is the time, ladies and gentlemen. Your General Assembly is in session. The House just voted. The House committees, two committees, voted to advance the governor's gun bill. So now is the time to call your delegate, your representative in your district, and tell them to vote against the governor's gun ban, or their future as a General Assembly member is in jeopardy. And that's my opinion. But now it's time for me to tell you the facts about Clyde Sports Shop. Located at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, they're ready to rock and roll for fishing. They've got that fishing hotline up. The phone number there is 247-FISH, 247-3474, if you want an up-to-date fishing report. They'll tell you. They've got all the parachutes and bucktails and umbrella rigs for rockfish. They've got the trolling rods and reels. They've got the line to fill your spool with. And they've got all the small stuff, too, for crappies and white perch and yellow perch and trout. They've got everything. They're your complete fishing center located just off Beltway Exit 9 on Hammonds Ferry Road. It's Clyde Sports Shop. The phone number there, 410-242-6108. They're a citation center, too. You can check your fish in there, and that'll do Marty Gary's heart good that you can check your fish in at Clyde Sports Shop, a great asset to our community. And, of course, they do carry all the guns and firearms and ammunition for hunting as well. Give them a call, 410-242-6108. Visit the website, www.clydessports.com.
This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at the local car wash. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did, with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything. Their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
This is the Wall Street Journal Report. I'm Marcy Norton. Detroit has a growing problem. There are now more women on the road than men. That means women are becoming a much more potent force in the car market. That could pose a challenge for the auto industry in general, and General Motors and Ford in particular. A study of 2012 new vehicle registrations shows women gravitate toward smaller, more fuel-efficient cars than men. This holds true even when the analysis excludes pickup trucks, which men often buy for work-related reasons. Women also tend to buy less expensive cars. The average new car bought by a woman last year cost 12% less than the average new car bought by a man. The big worry for GM and Ford is that women aren't all that interested in the cars they make. Among the top 10 cars women bought in 2012, only two were American brands, the Ford Escape and Chevrolet Equinox. Since cars designed specifically for women have flopped in the past, automakers need to work harder to improve the quality of the cars they already have. I'm Marcy Norton with the Wall Street Journal.
I know my business.
I know my business.
I know my business.
But I don't know much about creating a website.
Who has the time to create their own website?
I always thought a website would cost a lot of money. Then I discovered Wix.com.
I went to Wix.com.
My kid knows more about technology than me, so Wix was the perfect way to create my website.
You choose your design, write what you want to say, and move your text and images where you want them. No coding, no confusion.
And the designs are beautiful.
I created a stunning website lightning fast. It was fun. And it couldn't be easier.
The best part is that Wix.com is free.
Free. Absolutely free.
No matter what size your business, people don't take you seriously unless you have a professional-looking website. See how easy and fun it is to create your own website at Wix.com. Choose the perfect website design for your business and then easily customize text, images, even video. And it's absolutely free. Create your own stunning website at Wix.com. That's W-I-X.com.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Yeah! Here comes Amos! Amos Moses was a Cajun. He lived by himself in the swamp. They hunted alligator for a living. It just knocked him in the head with a stomp. The Louisiana law gonna get you, Amos. It ain't legal hunting alligator down in the swamp, boy. Now everybody blame this old man.
All right. We got Marty locked in? Let's lock him in. There he is. Good morning again, Marty. How you doing?
I am still with you.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that.
Was that Jerry Lee Lewis?
That was Jerry Lee Lewis with Amos Moses. Amos Moses with a Cajun. He lived by himself in the swamp. Jerry Reed. Not Jerry Lee Lewis.
Jerry Reed.
Yeah, Jerry Reed. God rest his soul. He and Andy Griffith are up there making music together, I guess. We started talking about water temperatures, and we talked a little bit about shad fishing and that type of thing. We talked about the fishing challenge a little bit. Tell us about the angler survey. Just kind of review where to go and get that online.
Okay. And I
know the newsletter came out. I mean, the news release came out this week about it, and basically said that they've added snakehead to it. But tell our listeners how they can report their successes and their time on the water.
It's in a pretty prominent location on our website. So if you go to the DNR website, click over to fishing, which is fishery service.
Right.
Up in the upper right hand corner, we have our quick links, and it should be right there. I'm actually looking at it. Yeah, volunteer angler surveys is about the sixth one down.
Yep.
On the list.
I see it.
Youth fishing club, etc. So once you get there, Alan, and here's the key to this thing. You create an account just like you sort of do with Compass and Miniature.
Right.
So, and all it requires is your email address.
Right.
I'm not going to ask for anything else but the.
Am I going to get a letter from the governor touting his greatest fishing adventure now? You know, hey, guess what? We got offshore windmills. I just wanted you fishermen to know that flounder regulations came into effect today. And, by the way, windmills are on the General Assembly.
Yeah. This is just a login. Your login's going to be your email address.
Yeah.
You'll put your name and stuff like
that. Yeah, I see that.
But anyway, so once you've created your account, then it'll cue you over to a page, and you'll see a series of fish icons there.
Yeah.
And some of these have been around for a long time. The striped bass survey goes back actually into the mid-90s.
Right.
Bill Jones was our estuarine and marine division chief biologist, and I actually helped work with him to get that one started with the Maryland Saltwater Sports Fishermen's Association.
Mm-hmm.
That was in like 94-95, and I tell you what, ever since the beginning, that data, I really can attest to it. The statisticians, our staff has really found that a valuable source of information, and this thing has only expanded. So as I was saying, once you establish the account and you set it up and you get to that page, you're going to see a number of different icons there. So you've got striped bass, bluefish, yellow perch, flounder,
So you basically just log in with your email, and once you're in, then you can pick your species. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you can't get into the survey without logging in. I see that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And
well, if you're already on the internet, you already have an email address. I mean, it's pretty simple to do. So.
Yeah, like you were mentioning earlier, Alan, you were talking to John Mulliken.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just saying he's clearly the liaison to the Potomac River Smallmouth Survey. So there's one specifically for that. And the one that's kind of,
well, there's also if you look on the latest on the homepage there, it actually says attention muskie fishermen. Check out the new addition to our volunteer angler survey family. If you target muskie, please print off our survey form and send it back to John Mulliken, jmulliken@dnr.state.md. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and there's one, I know this is near and dear to your heart, there's one for blue crab in there.
Is there? Good. Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
So this is just expanding. And my suspicion is, based on, you know, my observations and working with our colleagues, that this is going to be taking on more and more relevance. And, you know, it's something I think, hopefully that will become part of the average angler's psyche, that, you know, those that are computer enabled and are comfortable with it. And just make it part of your trip to, you know, write down what you catch, how long you fished, you know, where you fished, and then just jump over here. Just make that the final part of your trip when you come home in the evening, you know, whenever it's convenient for you.
Hey, Marty.
Go on there and fill it out.
Hey, Marty.
Yes.
I'm on the survey user registration form. Email address. Verify your email address. First name, last name, your address, your city, your state, and your zip code, your home phone. And then it asks, are you a CCA, Pasadena Sport Fish, or MSSA member? Click yes or no. It gives you the code to type in. But my question is, can you somehow tie your DNR ID to this?
Oh, from Compass, you mean?
Yeah.
That's an interesting question.
I bring all kinds of interesting questions to the table. I mean, shouldn't you?
I don't know the answer.
Well, shouldn't you just be able to type in your DNR ID since you're already, in the system with your driver's license, your Social Security number, your name, address, phone number, and every transaction that you you do with DNR? Couldn't you just put a field in there for, you know, put a block in there for your DNR ID, and boom, you don't have to do the rest of the stuff?
That would be a good question for Dr. Barker.
And, well, there you go.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to help you guys. You know, I'm not trying to be critical or anything else. I'm just, as you know, my suggestions are often overlooked. I mean, my suggestions are often probing.
Well, I've already got two good ones today. I mean, the catfish one I thought was very good because there is under the largemouth bass icon, Alan. I don't know if you've gotten that far into it.
No, I didn't. I didn't read it. I'm on the radio, Marty. I don't have time to be playing on the computer right now.
What I was going to say was there is a drop down for catfish.
Right.
Doesn't delineate, you know, flathead, blue channel.
Yeah, I mean,
but that's a good point. I think both of those, you know, the question about the Compass ID and the or login and the catfish one have been good ones, so
right.
Take that back. But get you an email answer to that so you can share it out with your listeners.
There you go. Sure. And anybody that would like to email the show, just email me, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. If you have any questions that you don't want to go on the phone to ask, again, email ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. I'll pass that on to the appropriate folks in fisheries or wildlife and try to get you an answer. And they you guys are pretty good about responding to consumer emails and questions that they have. We've noticed that in the past. So we did get an email from a listener on the Eastern Shore about flathead catfish. We were talking about those earlier in the Susquehanna, and I'll share that with the listeners. Basically says flatheads are predators, fish for them with something alive, sunfish, mudshad. They much prefer live bait versus anything else. Mississippis and blues, which are channel cats and blues, not so much. You can use cut bait for them. But so the listener is indicating that you want to use some type of live fish bait for the flatheads. It's a thought. Marty, still with me?
Yep. I'm here. And, yeah, that's consistent with everything we know about them.
Yeah.
you know, they're active predators, and they do definitely prefer live fish. And
sure.
From the literature, at least, the you know, the sunfish family, any member of that is a preferred prey species.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know why, with those sharp spines on the back. I don't know if I'd be so willing to do that. But, of course, that big wide mouth on a flathead, I mean, that kind of just sucks everything in and right down the gullet head first, and they got mechanisms to deal with that, I'm sure. So
I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. We did find northern pike one time with a sunfish caught sideways in its mouth, and the spines were up into the roof of the pike's mouth, and it actually had killed the fish. I mean, it was a pretty interesting find floating around in one of the ponds we used to fish, which I thought was pretty cool. But
tough
way to go, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Not only does that hurt, but it turned out to be fatal. So indeed. So, Marty, since you're there in Ocean City, what are you learning about the headboats? I mean, we don't have a tremendous headboat fleet like we used to have. There's a few, but they're doing pretty well offshore right now in the early season here on the Tautog, I guess, huh?
Yeah, they are. Got the chance to see Monty Hawkins at an Artificial Reef Committee meeting not so long ago, a little more than a week ago, and you know, they have their on and off days, but he's doing quite well down here. It's interesting if you follow him, and he does have quite an interesting following of folks. He's got his own website and email address, like a lot of captains do.
Right.
But he has a lot of his clients, Alan, come down all the way from Long Island up in the New York region, and they have they call them blackfish, tautog up
there. Yeah, black whales and all that, yeah.
But what they come down to fish with him for, the reason why they make that distance to come down all the way to Maryland to fish for the tautog is, apparently, for whatever reason, you know, they catch decent numbers of tautog in that New York area, but
no size.
But no size. But the Imani had the state record, I guess, a couple years back, and just in the last few weeks, I know he said he's caught several fish double digits down there.
Wow, that's a big tautog. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you ever saw the picture of the world record that was caught off of Wachaprig or one of those places down in Virginia, one of those inshore boats. 23 pounds, if I remember right. They estimated the fish to be like 85 years old. I had it on the cover of an old Fish Finder magazine at one time. That's how long ago it's been, in the 80s. Just a tremendous, tremendous tautog. I mean, just unbelievable. So.
Yeah, they're. I've had a chance to catch a couple of them, and they're tricky. I tell you, I was clearly not the most skilled guy on the boat the last couple of times I've been out.
Kathy could catch them. I had trouble catching them, but she knew how to set the hook a half second before the fish bit, and that was that's pretty much how you had to catch them. So mm-hmm. Yeah. But, we fish for them Delaware Bay, fish for them in Maryland, fish for them in New Jersey. And we did some wreck fishing in Florida, but that was more for grouper and snapper. But that's a fun trip when you go out on that big boat and, you know, enjoy the day fishing for those species. And, you know, it is tough. I'm thinking maybe if you go with braid or some non-stretch fluorocarbon or something like that, you might be a little quicker on the trigger rather than the old standard monofilament stretched out that far.
I'm with you on that. I've recently, just in the last year or so, switched everything I have over to, you know, to like Power Pro and some of the other braided lines. And your sensitivity is just amazing.
Yeah,
difference,
yeah,
you know,
yeah. So, I mean, for traditional fishing, I still like monofilament because I haven't learned yet, I haven't adapted, and probably because I'm not out there every weekend banging the waters, I just, you know, I'm still old school when it comes to the mono. I've always fished Berkeley Trilene, you know, XL or XT, primarily XT when I'm fishing structure and that type of thing. It's a little bit tougher. But I'm going to spool one of the reels up with braid this year and see how I like it, try to adapt to it, see how that works. I've tried some of the fluorocarbons I don't like. They've got a lot of memory, and I just don't I don't care for some of them. But, you know, I just haven't hit the right combo yet on that. So, but
yeah,
I will.
Absolutely.
But I will.
Absolutely.
So
the other thing that's going on down here, Alan, and I've missed it the last couple of years, and I tell you what, I want to tear myself away from my desk up in Annapolis.
It
was so hot the last 2 years, is this spring surf fishing bite down here.
Yeah.
And it's for black drum and striped bass as they're obviously finishing their spawning and moving back up the coast. So that's not really that far away. That's a mid-April to, say, third week of May type of phenomenon.
Sure.
But really, really spectacular surf fishing off Assateague End and Ocean City and the Delaware beaches.
One of our sponsors, Dwayne Wolford at W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. Dwayne is an extremely avid surf fisherman. And I don't know if people know this or not, but Dwayne lost his leg in a snowmobile accident a number of years ago, and when we used to have snow. And he goes out there and wades out in that surf, and it's certainly a challenge for him getting buffeted by those waves. But, you know, he toughs it out. He goes out there and fishes for those striped bass, and he goes down to the Outer Banks and fishes for red drum and, you know, anything and everything that runs down there. And, he toughs it out. He fishes Assateague for sharks. And, you know, his dad has a nice boat down in Tillman Island. And they go out for the trophy rockfish season, fish all year down there. So, you know, our sponsors even are involved in fishing and hunting in the great outdoors. And that's why, that's why we like them, and that's why they like us. And you know, we appeal to the folks that are, that are after their own heart, so to speak. So, but you may see Dwayne down there in the next couple of weeks. I'll talk to him. See what
that's great.
Yeah,
it's been really, really an awesome run, and a lot of people focus on that fall run and some red drum show up. But this for 2-3 weeks, it's a pretty amazing thing. And anyway, so it's something to look forward to along with.
Well, let me ask you the big question coming up here in the next couple of weeks. We've got the opener of the. And we'll have more conversations on this as we come. But what are we looking for on the outlook for striped bass this year as far as the trophy season? We're hearing big catches on the flats.
Yeah, I think I'll tell you, it's you look at this situation as it's evolving here, and you kind of play it by ear. But last year, of course, we hit the first week of April, and we had this pop of a warm-up that hit into the 80s, I think upper 80s.
We had soft crabs on March 28th last year, Marty.
Yeah, and that, of course, elicited a significant amount of spawning. And they do spawn in waves, so it's not like, they're all spawned and done. But, that ran in front of the opening day. So what we were hearing was, the catches were, people were catching some fish. But in any event, I guess it was the year before that, we had that protracted cooler, wetter weather, and the fish stayed around, and it was a good spring. And right now, I think the track on it is, from what I'm hearing, it's been a low average temperatures for March.
Right.
It's been cooler. The flows from the tributaries appear to be average right now.
Right.
And we know for reproductive success, it's better if we have higher flows. At least there seems to be a relationship there. But in terms of the fishing part of it, the fishermen are going to benefit if there's more fish in here for a longer period of time and whatnot. So if it stays cooler and we get some precip, maybe not too much, though, that would cause a lot of turbidity in the water.
Right.
That would be the ideal scenario, and we just have to wait and see how that plays out.
Sure.
I think the 2 years that stand out to me in my mind, Alan, I think it's 2002 and last year, those were the 2 years we had this big warm-up prior to the opening.
Right.
And they, the numbers just weren't there.
Right,
But we'll see. I think we're coming up here. Tomorrow is the last day of March, and those first 2 weeks of April, see what these temperatures do. That'll be a big. By the time, hopefully, if everything works out, and we get Harry Hornick or somebody talk about striped bass,
sure,
it's going to be the next thing that's going to happen as far as a guest speaker.
Good
with you.
Yep, looking forward to that.
At that point, you'll have a pretty good.
Idea. Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, that'll be coming up next 2 weeks. So.
Yep.
All right, hang on there, Marty. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to get to Glenn's call. Glenn in Easton wants to talk about the gun bill. So let me tell you folks about the grand opening and open house of Strut and Rut Archery. Turkeys strut this time of year, and whitetails rut. So to get you in the mood, Strut and Rut Archery has expanded and opened a new location in Elkton, Maryland. Strut and Rut Archery is open right now. But next Saturday, April 6th, it's the grand opening of the new Strut and Rut Archery. Jeff and Mary Adkins are down-to-earth people who are willing to share their knowledge and open their store to you. Now, if bow hunting is your passion, you need to get to know Strut and Rut. With a wide selection of compound bows and crossbows from Matthews, Mission, Elite, and Diamond, and all the accessories, you'll find the products and services you need for success. The Techno Hunt video target range allows you to shoot your equipment for off-season practice and leagues. Their expert pro staff technicians can tune your bow or set up a new one for you, your spouse, or your kids. Now, Strut and Rut offers fishing tackle and crabbing gear, too. On April 6th, stop by the grand opening and open house in their new 4,000-square-foot facility right off Route 40 on Maloney Road in Elkton, across from Staples. Product representatives and pro staff will answer questions and conduct product demonstrations. Free refreshments, too. I like that. Visit the website, strutandrutarchery.com. Strutandrut, that's an N in the middle, .com for online purchasing. Your new gear can be shipped directly to you for business hours. Again, visit strutandrutarchery.com or call 410-885-5058. That's 410-885-5058. Do you fish or hunt or go crabbing? Get to know Strut and Rut Archery. And for our listeners on the Upper Eastern Shore, make sure you tell them you heard about it right here on the Outdoorsman Radio Show. It's time for us to tell you about Clyde Sports Shop one more time, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. All this fishing talk ought to get you inspired to head down to Clyde Sports Shop and see what they have to offer for the 2013 fishing season. They're at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road, just off Beltway Exit 9, and that's in Lansdowne, Maryland. The phone number, 410-242-6108. The fishing hotline number is 410-247-FISH. That's 247-3474.
This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex at Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner.
The following is a paid announcement.
Governor O'Malley wants to enact laws that burden the right of self-defense for the law-abiding citizen. These restrictions will deny rights to those least able to afford them. The governor openly admits he wants to tax a civil right and make it a profit center for Maryland. The governor proposes laws that violate American values. His laws will not target criminals. His laws will only convert the lawful into criminals. The governor's penalties against law-abiding people will cause the loss of jobs, security clearances, and could even stop you from getting a mortgage. The governor's laws will subject active duty service members to prison time if they cannot register their firearms while serving overseas. They will subject young hunters to prison time for possessing common hunting ammunition. And you'll risk prison for not knowing to register a hunting firearm that the state previously approved you to own. Gun control helps no one. This message brought to you by Maryland citizens. Learn more at MarylandShallIssue.org.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680. WCBM.
Hey, we're back with Marty Gary, fisheries ecologist from Maryland's Department of Natural Resources Fisheries Service. Marty, just got an email. Every year, there are a number of so-called sport fishermen who target spawning rockfish on the spawning grounds, like the Kingston Landing on the Chop Tank. The emailer says, I do hope there is some enforcement of the regulations for these individuals. These guys hit the fish every year.
Yeah, that area of the Chop Tank River is within the spawning reach.
Yep.
So that's the actual area of spawning.
Yep.
Our designations, if you look at those maps, and I think a lot of the anglers are clued into it, it's
yep.
the spawning rivers, areas, and reaches.
Well, they're all closed, right?
Yeah, they're closed through May 31st.
Right.
And it's really closed to the targeted fishing of striped bass.
Well, I think that's what our emailer is saying, that you know, there's somebody there all the time fishing on those spawning fish. There needs to be enforcement.
Well, his observations are consistent with what the reports we've received the last couple of years. And
yep.
they did make NRP made a number of cases.
Oh, I know they did. Yep.
Up in that area. So, and there was recently discussed it at our senior staff meeting. Maybe not the last one, but one of the last couple of meetings we talked about it, and it appears hopefully that maybe that the that presence of the NRP there the last couple of springs will hopefully deter that behavior.
Yep. Let's wait and see. Glenn's been waiting a long time. He wants to weigh in on the gun control bill, and we'll let him do that. Hey, Glenn, how you been? Long time no hear.
I've been busy.
That's good. What's up?
Well, passed the bill out of committee yesterday.
Yep, the House committee. Yep, that's right.
And I'm wondering how many of our turkey hunters on here that listen know that if they have a pistol grip shotgun, it's going to be illegal.
Yep.
To buy a new one.
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure if you have one, you have to re-register it, correct?
Don't believe. I think everything's going to be grandfathered in. What, you know, in the final analysis, Glenn, we won't know till we know, till the compromise takes place between the Senate and House bills. I mean, there's a lot of differences. The House said, you know, $50 license fee. The Senate said $25. God knows where that's going to wind up if you have to be licensed. It's a mess. It's a complete mess.
It's
a horribly written bill. It's an awful bill. It infringes on the rights of law-abiding citizens and turns law-abiding citizens into criminals. And so what happened there? Wow. Oh, well, turn that down a little bit so I can talk to Glenn. We know the music's playing. So, Glenn, call your representative. That's all we can do. Glenn, hello? Well, looks like Glenn went away. Marty, you still there?